Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Hi, this is Charlie Brennan. All of us in the KMOX family are so saddened by the loss this week of our friend and longtime colleague, Bob Hamilton, who passed away at the age of 82. Bob was truly, in many ways, the actual voice of St. Louis. Not too long ago, he and I sat down in front of a couple of microphones and reflected on his life and truly great career as a broadcast newsman in St. Louis. Well, our guest today is Bob Hamilton, someone I consider the voice of St. Louis. Listeners to this radio station heard Bob for many years. He has one of the most distinctive, recognizable voices in St. Louis, if not the country. And he recently hung up the microphone here at KMOX, and so I thought for the record, we would talk to you, Bob, and just learn a little something about you, because often we heard you closing schools and announcing emergencies and natural disasters, man-made and otherwise, and never really talked about Bob Hamilton, the man. So hello and welcome back to KMOX.
Thank you, Charlie. It's good to be here. And it's going really good. The station sounds great.
Oh, you're too kind. Folks, is that not the voice that we've come to know and love? Did you take formal broadcasting or speech lessons?
No. I have never had a broadcasting course in my life. I've never had a journalism course in my life, though I've taught them. I didn't tell them that, but that's what I did. I just did it myself. When I was in high school, I decided I wanted to go to radio, and that's what I wanted to do. So when everybody else was out playing outside, I was in with one of the very early tape recorders, reading the newspaper into the tape recorder. And I did that for hours and hours and hours. And I learned how to pronounce big words. And if I didn't know, I'd look them up. But I did that. I read the newspaper into a tape recorder for, just long, long time.
Where did you grow up?
University City.
Did you go to U City High?
I did. Absolutely.
Quite a few famous St. Louisans, from Tennessee Williams to Nelly.
Don Wolfe.
Marty Hendon.
Mm-hmm.
The list goes on.
Absolutely.
Did you know any of those in school?
No, I didn't, but I've known them over the years. Yeah.
They were the Indians when you went there. They're the Lions
the
now.
New City Indians and now the Lions. Yes. Yeah.
What did your dad do for a living?
He was a lawyer, real estate lawyer, and like his father was. And he tried to get me into law, and I went to law school at Washington U for, I think it was 5 weeks. And I hated it. You have to take somebody else's position. You can't say what you think. You have to say what your client really should say. And I didn't like that. So I went into radio.
Where was this?
The first station was in Fulton, Missouri. I wanted to go to college at Westminster College because it has a lot of history. And I also went there because my cousin happened to own the radio station in Fulton. And I thought, oh, boy, here's my foot in the door. And it worked. I did. I was a disc jockey.
You spun records.
I spun records, rock and roll. And I can remember up in Columbia, Missouri, Club Paradise. It was a little roadhouse, a nightclub, and sat on the piano stool next to Fats Domino, and he was playing up there. Oh, it was wonderful.
What year was this, Bob?
Had to be in the late 50s because I graduated in 60. Yeah, so late 50s.
No kidding. This is Bob Hamilton legendary news broadcaster at KMOX and beyond. How long have you been retired from KMOX?
It's been, well, I got cancer a few years ago, and that kind of took it out of me. And so now that's mending and healing. And I just kind of slowed gradually down. And now I feel fine most of the time, but I don't know that it's time for other people to do this. They're doing it very well.
Well, how many years had you been at KMOX?
32, I think. Yeah, that's 30, 32, something.
You have a nice union pension.
Oh, that's why I'm smiling in retirement. Yeah, that pension really, really helps.
People don't know, but you are also very active in the union, which is the American Federation of Television Radio Artists, which mm-hmm. recently merged with the Screen Actors
right.
Guild. So why did you become so active in the union?
Because everybody was pretty much afraid. Robert Hyland, years and years ago, was the legendary general manager of KMOX, and he was kind of an autocrat. He ruled with an iron fist, and everybody was probably afraid of him. And I can't be afraid of people. So I tried to get to know him, and wound up, I got his respect. He would let me be at the radio station the few hours he wasn't during the day. And he taught me some of his, secrets and things like that. And we got along really well. But I couldn't be afraid of him, so I had to admire him. And I did, and it worked.
Do you have a favorite Robert Hyland story?
Oh, there are so many. One has to do with Clarence Nieder, a legendary long-term engineer at KMOX. And he was at work in the engineering bay with the equipment and everything. And Robert Hyland came in and he said, I'm getting static on KMOX. Change the frequency, Clarence. And Clarence said, well, we really can't do that. And he said, yeah, go down to 630. That sounds good. And Clarence said, no, sir, we can't. And he went out in a huff, and finally somebody told him, I guess, that you can't do that.
When you're at 1120 a.m., that's what you've got.
Exactly, and that's enough. That's a big blowtorch.
I remember one time there was an intern in the newsroom, and you and I used to work together weeknights and weekends mm-hmm. here at KMOX, and there was an intern who was assigned to walk across the street and cover some event that was taking place at a big dinner at the Adams Mark, and she didn't come back, and you're starting to worry about her, and I almost headed over there to look for her, and next thing you know, she walked in the door with a big bouquet of flowers, and she said, I won the centerpiece. I thought, what? And we figured out that instead of covering the event, she sat down, she had dinner and enjoyed herself.
And
took home the centerpiece.
Exactly. Well, interns are there to learn, and I think there was a teaching moment there that that we got in. But, yeah, that happened.
Yeah. What stories did you cover here at KMOX that you remember?
Oh, boy. Many, many, many. Presidents, I don't know how many. There was one time, and you were here then, I'm not sure of the candidate, but they kept the polls open in St. Louis. It was a presidential election.
2000. Yeah.
And the Democratic candidate, who was that?
Lacey Clay. Remember he called, oh no.
No, presidential.
Oh, that would have been Gore.
Al Gore. He called, and, apparently, they had engineered to keep the polls open so more people could come and vote. And Al Gore was going to call and explain why the polls were open. And he was, and we figured at the time, John Butler, the news director, and I, we figured that, well, maybe there's something nefarious going on here, something a little underhanded. So we recorded it. I went in and recorded the interview. And it's a good thing I did, because he was saying, well, come on out, folks. There's still time. It's, 8:30 at night, but come on and vote. And we'll be happy to see you. Well, they were trying to rig that election.
I remember that.
They didn't get away with it, but I did get to talk to Al Gore.
Al Gore called into the newsroom, and Bob Hamilton took his call. And Bob Hamilton took our call. He's with us right now on Profiles. We'll be back with more. And this legendary broadcaster, Robert Hamilton, the voice of St. Louis, next on KMOX. Hi, this is Charlie Brennan. Thanks for joining us. We're listening once again to a 2016 interview with Bob Hamilton, the longtime KMWX newsman who passed away this week at the age of 82. Our guest is Bob Hamilton, 32 years at the Voice of St. Louis. He worked with them all, and he's sharing some of those tales with us right now. You mentioned Clarence Nieder. He was the board operator for the late, great Jack Carney.
Oh, absolutely. And he and Jack Carney would connect. They had this mental connection. There was glass between them, but Clarence would know what Jack Carney was thinking. And so he would play these sound effects, much like you and Chris Myhill do.
Well, I remember Clarence used to give me advice when I was a young broadcaster at the age of 28 in 1988, and he said, always carry a prop. And I said, what do you mean? He said, carry a clipboard or something. If you're walking the hallways, it always looks a lot better to the management than if you're walking empty-handed. Mm-hmm. So if you ever saw me walking around with a clipboard back, 30 years ago, that was why.
I'm the same way. I carry a newspaper. Everywhere I go, I've got a newspaper in my hand.
Makes it look like you know what you're doing.
I mean, it could be in Moscow, and it's in Russian, but I carry it.
Now, Hyland used to move people around. Did he change your schedule frequently?
Not really, because I wound up liking the hours that nobody else liked. I loved to work on weekends and nights and overnights. I just enjoy that for some reason. And he tried to move me, but I liked those hours. And he was happy because those were the few hours that he slept every night. And he taught me how to do most of the things that he did and do them right without having to call him in the middle of the night or his night.
Didn't they used to call you the officer on duty, or there was some title, the officer in charge?
Yeah, that's that business of not being afraid of somebody you work for, respecting them, but not being afraid. I could make decisions, and he taught me how to make them, and so I'd make them, and they worked. Yeah.
Yes, you worked Saturday afternoons into Saturday evening, like 12-hour shifts.
I like 12 hours.
And the same thing was Sunday, and then you'd work late night on the weeknights as
it
well.
It only was 40 hours a week. It was a couple of 8 hours and 2 12s, and that did it.
Did you ever hear Craig Hawksley do his impression of you?
Oh, many times, yeah. Absolutely.
How do you like it?
I love it. He's excellent. John Goodman does a good one.
Oh, does he really?
Oh, yeah. Sometime when you have him on, ask him to do one. He's good at it. There are a bunch of people. Yeah.
Did your dad speak like you do? Sort of the same style?
No, he was... I was embellishing... I learned my radio by listening to radio. So I listened to the people that I thought were the best, mainly newscasters and things like that. And I would pick up a little bit from each one. David Bowie was a chameleon, and I tried to be a chameleon with news. And I'd pick up a little thing from Paul Harvey and a little thing from H.V. Kaltenborn and a little bit from the BBC and kind of moshed them all up. And came up with that, and it was different. It was unique.
So you had a lot of influences.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Who was your role model? Was there one?
There was one. His name was Gordon Ward. He was an announcer at the NBC radio station in Cleveland, WTAM. And I was I went to summer camp in the summer at the Danforth Foundation Camp Minnewanka. And Gordon Ward was a counselor there. And I thought, oh, boy, a real radio announcer. And so we just talked and talked and got along. And what do you know, 30, 40 years later, I'm working at the station like WTAM in Cleveland in St. Louis.
Right.
So, yeah.
You came over here after there was an exodus from KSD radio that included you, Ron Jacober, Kathy Hartley, and maybe some others?
Oh, a big, big exodus, yeah. KSD originally was owned by the Post-Dispatch, and I worked there, and they had Channel 5. They were together at the time. So it was all one big, happy family. But then KSD was sold to Gannett, to the USA Today people, and they did what national owners do sometimes. They fiddle around and say, well, we can do better with country music. And they did. They changed to country music. And Howard DeMere was there at the time. I was there, all the other people. And we said, wait a minute, this is the handwriting on the wall. So, then I came over, and Robert Hyland then proceeded to pick all the good people from KSD.
Didn't he sometimes hire people and then fire them?
Oh, yes.
Were you ever afraid that that would happen to you?
No, I never was, because I think Robert Hyland trusted me, and I certainly trusted him and respected him, and I never thought that would happen. Never did.
Did you ever see Mr. Hyland's gruff side?
Oh, many, many times. That's how he teaches. He's very gruff. When you talk to him on the phone, you make sure you hold the earpiece a bit away from your ear, because when he's done, he'll slam the phone, just bam. But not in anger. He was just done with the conversation. So, boom, away he'd go.
He used to have that hotline, and there'd be a light that would illuminate in the studio if it was coming from his office, and mm-hmm. it used to just send shivers of fear. You know, people trembled when they saw that light go off.
Well, that was a tactic. That was something he did. He was great with psychology. He was great with body English. In his office, he had these Eames chairs or whatever. You would sit in them and you would almost fall on the floor. You were way down below him, which was intended. And that was just a little psychology thing. He was really great at that, yeah.
Had a very clean, clear desk. Nothing scattered, not lots of piles of paper.
Right, yeah. He kept a lot of things in his head, and he had files, you know, back behind him. But he would just spend so much time at the office that he just was on top of everything.
He was getting in about 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yep, when I would be going home. And he would listen to tapes in the middle of the night. I'm sure he listened to your tape when you had, you know, applied for a job. He listened to mine when I was out in the country in Union, Missouri. And he would do that. He would keep tabs on everything. And then when he wanted to know if somebody sounded okay on the radio or sounded a little off or a little bad, he had a large group of blind people, sightless people, and they would listen with an ear that only they could hear. Yeah. So that was his focus group.
Pretty clever. Mm-hmm. Our guest is Bob Hamilton from KMOX Radio News. And we're going to take a break and come back with more on KMOX.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Bob Hamilton, a longtime mainstay in the KMOX News Department, has passed away at the age of 82. He joined us in 2016 for this conversation. Our guest needs no introduction to a KMOX audience for sure. Bob Hamilton, 32 years at the Voice of St. Louis. Let me mention a few names and you can just share a thought off the top of your head. Jim White.
A teddy bear. He came across on the radio as gruff, you know, and you can't fix stupid and all of that. In reality, Jim was a teddy bear. He taught me ham radio and loaned me equipment, all of this. He really had a soft spot in his heart for just about everybody.
Ann Keefe.
Ann Keefe was one of the pioneer women in broadcasting, and certainly in St. Louis and at KMOX. And she was tough and was not a cream puff. She, when she got on her high horse for something, and it was always good, it happened. She would not stop. She was a journalist extraordinaire and a good person and just really, really nice. Yeah.
Bob Hardy?
Bob Hardy, one of the best. He was kind of the voice of KMOX for many, many years. Did the news in the morning with Rex Davis and spent a lot of time, a very intense person. He would do a lot of research, a lot of reading, talk to a lot of people. Yeah, he was the best.
John McCormick, the man who walked and talked at midnight.
John painted pictures with his voice and his music. He did play some music sometime. But he had a great, mellifluous voice for years, and he may still be the voice of the old cathedral when you go there. And he explains where things are and that kind of thing. He created a mood. And Robert Heinlein one time told me why John McCormick was there. Because he would put people to sleep with that beautiful, mellow voice. And then the people would fall asleep listening to this wonderful radio, and then they'd wake up, and who would be on the radio but Bob Hardy and Rex Davis? And boom, KMOX had them again.
It really worked.
It worked.
You know, I replaced John McCormick for about 6 weeks, and the boss, Robert Heinlein, wanted me to take phone calls, but to take phone calls, to get people to call in, you got to stir it up a little bit. People just don't automatically call in, and it was really interfering with people's ability to sleep.
Well,
so
they were trying to go to sleep, and you were trying to excite them, and that's...
Yeah, exactly. So it was like trying to have chili for breakfast or something. So
that was part of the change in radio, you know, from disc jockeys and music and mellow voices to talk and phone calls, things like that. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So I think Tony Oren came in. Then we had a fellow by the name of he was out of Joliet, Illinois, who did that shift for a while.
Joliet.
And I can't remember his name. It wasn't Ralph Grazak.
Mm.
I'll think of it some other time. You really have seen people come and go here, haven't you?
Yeah. Yeah. I remember your first day.
Do you really? I remember you were, I will tell our listeners this, you were so supportive and very kind. You know, I was hardly a good broadcaster. Definitely not a great one, hardly a good one. But you were always very complimentary. You've said very nice things, and I'll never forget it. Just, you know, for a kid who was very insecure and unsure of himself, you just really were a nice, comforting guy. Because I didn't know anyone here in St. Louis. I hadn't even heard of KMOX, to be honest with you. And I had this job working weekends, late nights. And so to have a guy in my corner like you, Bob Hamilton, meant a lot.
Well, that's what I do. I love to teach, and I can't do this forever. So it's now time for other people to do. And somebody more recently that I kind of tried to help along is now doing Morning Drive, Michael Calhoun.
No kidding.
Yep.
Good for you.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you teach, by the way?
Oh, I don't know, but I used to was an adjunct at the University of Missouri, St. Louis, at UMSL.
Did you go to UMSL?
No, I went to Westminster College in Fulton.
To study history.
Mm-hmm.
And then you were on the air in Fulton. You mentioned Union, KSD. Where else did you work?
That was it.
Pretty much?
I think three stations, which is very unusual, and it's unheard of today because... you know, stations change, and say, well, we're going to heavy metal. And if you have a mellifluous voice like John McCormick, that might not work. So it changes all the time.
Boy, when you were starting in the newsroom, there would be the clang, clang, clang of the teletype.
Ooh, yeah. And carbon paper.
Carbon paper and typewriters, of course.
Oh, yes. Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Now they're quiet rooms.
Mm-hmm. With computer screens.
Exactly.
And you're not... have not just one computer screen, but you've got three right here. Four.
Did they send you out to cover stories, or were you always an anchor?
No, I went out and covered stories.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember one time standing in a little depression in Southwest St. Louis County with either the governor or the candidate for governor, Joe Teasdale, and it was about dioxin. and Times Beach and this very toxic stuff. And here was Joe Teasdale standing in the middle in his boots and all the reporters around and talking about dioxin. None of us knew that it, you know, it could kill you. But with Joe Teasdale, I think that contributed to his death, yeah.
That was a huge national story.
Oh, we've had a lot of national stories. The most recent, of course, is Ferguson. Everybody in the world knows Ferguson. I mean, sometimes they get the facts wrong, but they know about Ferguson.
Well, even in China, weren't they doing the hands up, don't shoot sign?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And sometime now when I'm traveling, if somebody says, well, where are you from? And I say, well, St. Louis, and it draws a blank with them. Then I go a little further and say, well, Nelly. And if somebody younger, they say, oh, Nelly, yes. And yeah, that's what they do.
Yes. Now, you often were the guy here while we had Cardinal baseball on, right?
Uh-huh. I loved Cardinal baseball because I didn't have to do the news. That was wonderful. I was here. Uh-huh. You know, had to be here. What if it rained or something like that? So,
mm-hmm. And then you would take over?
Yeah. Usually I would, Robert Hyland would call, and somehow he knew I had radar screens and was on the phone with the Weather Bureau, but he would call up from his house and say, it's going to rain. And I said, well, I just looked, and I don't think it will. And he said, yes, it will. So then we prepared for the rain delays and all of that. That man listened to this radio station 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
And if he was asleep for an hour or two, somebody else would listen for him and tell him.
Then he was succeeded by Rod Zimmerman.
Mm-hmm.
What do you remember of Rod?
Rod was from the Elgin, Illinois, near the Chicago area, and a really good guy. But boy, what a hard job he had to follow. You know, he couldn't work 20 hours a day, even if he wanted to.
Yeah.
But he was good, and he did well, and he kept the ship afloat. And then we've had, you know, a number of people. It's nice to see people coming through and doing better and succeeding and all of that.
You know, you have traveled quite a bit. We're going to take a quick break here and come back and talk about some of your out-of-country adventures. Bob Hamilton is our guest, the voice of St. Louis, 32 years at KMOX Radio. The pride of Westminster College, that and University City High School, next on KMOX. We're listening once again to an interview from 2016 with the late Bob Hamilton, longtime KMOX newsman and St. Louis Radio Hall of Famer. Bob Hamilton, now you should be in the University City High School Hall of Fame.
Are
you
in there? Mm-hmm.
You are, okay,
yeah,
very well.
Mm-hmm.
That's with some good company.
Oh, I'll say.
Let me ask you about your travels. Where have you traveled to recently?
Recently, didn't go very far. San Diego, Palm Springs, Southern California, where it actually rained one day, which was wonderful. They welcomed that. And climbed around the aircraft carriers. I love ships and love ocean cruises and things like that.
You've been to Moscow?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. A long time ago, it was not as crazy and open as it is now.
You like adventure travel.
Oh, I love it. I would go to wars. Charlie, I don't know if you were here then, but I decided to go to Nicaragua when the Iran-Contra war was on. And it was, people said, oh, you don't want to go down there. And I did, and because I wanted to see it. And I did, and it was fine. It was on my own. CBS had a camera crew there at the airport in Managua when I landed, and they said, "Are you sure you want to?" They do. I said, "Yeah." So, well, we can give you a ride. And I said, "No. Somebody will pick me up," and I loved it. I got to see that whole Cold War thing. That was Nicaragua at the time was controlled by Russia and Cuba, and we were on the other side. We were the Contra side. And the U.S. Navy was off the coast, and I was in this little village in Managua, and I had a great time.
You didn't fear for your safety?
No. And I'd get the bus right at the bus stop where the guy from ABC got shot and killed. There's a wall. Maybe it still has bullet holes in it. But no, I wasn't afraid.
What'd you do in Nicaragua?
I learned, well, supposedly I learned Spanish. It was a Spanish school that they ran. And it was run by a Cuban intelligence officer, who I'm sure has been retired now. But I got to know him. And he was figuring, well, what's a CBS newsman doing in the middle of this slum in Managua? And so we got to know each other, and he knew I wasn't at the CIA or anything like that, wasn't out to get him. And so we got to know each other. I met an Iranian who was kind of an intelligence agency. They were on Nicaragua's side at the time. And he was a nice guy from a very good family. He just wanted to get out of Iran so he could drink.
What are some of your other favorite travel destinations?
Oh, Guatemala.
Guatemala.
Up in the mountains, up in the hills. Bermuda is my favorite country. I love going back in a couple of months there. It's very nice, very expensive, but neat place. One of the last British colonies.
So do you take cruises or do you travel on your own?
A little bit of both, mainly cruises, because they go from New York down there all the time. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's fun.
Those are four places I've never been. Moscow, Nicaragua, Guatemala, and Bermuda.
Uh-huh.
So you go off the beaten path.
Yeah, because everybody goes, you know, the other places in Paris and London. I go up to Scotland a lot in Europe. I just like to travel. I usually go by myself, and I will get on a bus, a city bus, and ride around. You learn a lot about a place that way.
Now, you're Scottish by ethnicity?
Yeah, heritage, uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. Is Hamilton your birth certificate name?
Oh, yeah. When you look at a phone book in Edinburgh or Glasgow, Hamiltons are more common than Smiths. They're just all over the place. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's a common name.
And so your dad was a real estate attorney in University City. How about your mom?
She was a housewife until, you know, she had to work. She went to Mary Institute and stuff like that, and they went to the Veiled Prophet. So they had money, most of which was lost in the Depression. But, so I got a good rounded education.
Now, you say she had to work. Your dad was an attorney. Did he pass away?
No, he just sometimes had difficulty sending out bills.
Oh, is that right?
Some lawyers do, you know, and that's not not good for lawyers. So money was often in short supply.
Oh, no kidding.
Oh, yeah.
So, was that a letdown for your mom who went to MI or went to Mary Institute?
Not really. She kind of rolled with the punches, and her mother, my grandmother, went through the Depression, and my father did, his father did, and they would talk, those relatives. I'm sorry that relatives that old aren't around anymore to tell us about it, because it was a very different time in the Depression.
Did they see you? Do they live to see you work for KMOX Radio?
Finally, they did. They wanted me to be a lawyer,
mm-hmm.
and because that was the family, you know, the business, lawyers and judges, and I just couldn't do it. I needed a little more freedom and a little more adventure.
Do you have siblings as well?
I have a sister who lives in Houston.
Oh, no kidding.
And I go down every so often, and I have nieces and nephews. I'm not married, but... I took 14 people in the family on a cruise to the Caribbean one time, and they loved it. They still talk about it. So, yeah,
I
do family stuff, too.
Oh, that's neat. I didn't know that you were part of the blue blood side of St. Louis history.
Oh, I don't think I ever was. I don't particularly like that any more than I would like to live in a slum.
Well, mom went to Mary Institute back in the day. That was
Well, yeah, they had... They had things, but I believe in learning what you don't know, and the other foot theory, and it's really helped in journalism. If you're rich, get to know the poor. If you're poor, get to know the rich. If you're a good journalist, you can wheel your way, you know, in either one, whatever you want. But I learned a lot that way, and I still do. I still love it.
What do you think of St. Louis?
St. Louis has a rich history, and it's struggling now. It's going to have to get its act together. It's disjointed, fragmented, and you have to go to another city. San Diego is my most recent example. There they have growth. These big construction cranes are on top of all the buildings, making them even bigger. And we don't have a lot of growth here in St. Louis. We have a rich history, and we can, you know, we can come together again. But I'm afraid we're more apart than together right now.
What are you doing with your time in your so-called retirement?
Read. I'm down to 8 hours a day reading. I love newspapers. The internet is fantastic because now I can read papers all over, everywhere. Yeah. I'm reading the Post-Dispatch archives, which is a great way to learn history. I was reading the 1950s the other day, a Post-Dispatch or two from the 50s. The Middle East was as screwed up then as it is today. There was fighting here, and the players changed, but it was still going on. Murders, robberies, guns, as many of those in the 20s as there are today, if not more. You'd look in the paper, and so-and-so got robbed here and there. And so some things don't change. It's kind of reaffirming to know that it's not worse.
Bob Hamilton, KMOX News. Bob Hamilton passed away at the age of 82. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. And thank you, Bob.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.